that all the things you have for us today, we are eager to receive. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd roam the room, and where there's a heavy heart, may you lighten it. You said, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's no lie, because the voice of truth spoke it. So Jesus, if we're heavy hearted and we're hurt, then may you bring comfort and bring that light burden to us. Lord, it's no chore to serve you, worship you. We're glad we're here. So Jesus, may we picture you on a bank, just like in Matthew 5, teaching them from a hillside, whatever it takes. And may we listen attentively and then respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's called you to do something, and right now it's called us to worship. We have a corporate prayer of worship. I worship every day. We get up in the morning and we pray, and that's a worship. But then at times we can worship together, and that's cool. I go to Mayberry Days occasionally in September, and I walk down there, and the whole town turns into Mayberry for me. And it's cool just to be together, as crazy as people are about Mayberry as I am. I wore this, you know what, Barney Caffney's shirt pocket, right? A little bullet that's only one there because he only had one. But I sort of wore this out of respect to pray for Joe. He's a good friend of mine, and today we get to go see him and encourage him. You know what I'm going to bank on is prayer. If you pray to God regularly, irregular things will happen on a regular basis. Miracles will soon become commonplace. George Mueller, a great man of prayer, ran an orphanage. His kids didn't have enough to eat or drink, and he needed some milk for the little kids. And what you know, he was praying and praying and praying, and a milk truck wrecked in front of the orphanage. They said, "We don't have a way to save this milk. Can you use it?" Wow. Prayer. I don't know if y'all known this before. I don't steal any thunder from Andy, but the person that married Lindsay and Andy, his Tim Miner, he's retired from the Air Force, still works as a chaplain there, but yet he works for, is it United? American? I should let Andy tell it. But anyway, here's what, he was supposed to fly a plane one day, and they didn't need him. I guess they gave somebody else one of those flights, and that was one of the planes that that crashed on 9/11. Instead of flying that plane, he instead wanted to go to work at the Pentagon. So when he pulled up in the parking lot, another plane crashed into that. So if he had showed up to work on time at the Pentagon, he'd probably died. If he had got on the plane that he was supposed to be on, he would have died. And those are miracles. I mean, so that's coincidence. Well, you're talking like the world. I'm going to choose to talk like a believer. I don't think God has coincidences. We're going to have irregular things only happen on a regular basis. Pretty soon, I want to pray like a Tim Miner. I want to pray like a George Mueller. God is great not just because nothing is too big for him. God's also great because nothing is too small. I don't want to bother God with this little request. You bother him because you're not bothering him. Sometimes God delivers us from our problems, and sometimes God delivers us through our problems. Say, I don't know if I can take this. God says, grab my hand. I'll walk through this problem with you. And finally, this, if you want to see God move, how about you make a move? How about you step out in faith? This series starts today, and it's a simple series. It's prayer. So I don't know what you can tell me that I don't already know. I hope I can give you some tidbit of prayer. I just hope in the next few days and weeks, I want us to learn how to be a better prayer and how to plug into the power of prayer. Has anybody ever had a lamp at their house, and you go and you click it on and say, something must be wrong. You keep looking and looking, and then you finally look, oh, it's not what? It's not even plugged in. That's why it doesn't work. A woman had trouble starting her car one day down at JCA, at Jefferson Christian Academy, a little Christian school in Giles that helped start. And she came in, dropped the kids off, went back out, car wouldn't start. She said, can you, I don't know what in the world's wrong with this. I got in and thought, okay, there's no, she just didn't have it in park. It's got to be in park or neutral to start, you know. So basically, it's sort of like an unplugged car, and you wonder why it won't start. We got an unplugged lamp, and it won't start. Or how about this one? I hate to be too much. I think this guy was from Peterstown that he went in, you know, the hardware store, bought the saw, and they said, you're going to cut about 80 cords of wood in about the half the it, you're just going to fly through. Half the time it would take normally. And he says, okay, I'll take it home, came back about, wore himself out, and said, this thing's not working. I sweated. I about broke my back and I cut two cords of wood. The guy says, takes it out of the case, looks at it, and says, looks okay to me, but I'll. And the guy went from West Virginia, went, what's that noise? You see, he never had started it. And that thing right there was about 18 pounds. That's a big old heavy duty chainsaw.
What is that noise? I think we do the same thing with God. God, how come you don't do things? And God says, maybe you ought to start and let me know how things go. Maybe you ought to plug in the lamp and let me know how things go. Maybe you ought to do a few things that I'll tell you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without what? Pray without ceasing. We pray once a day. Okay, that'll take care of it. That reminds me of the mom, the husband, and the wife. The wife was complaining and says, honey, you never tell me you love me anymore. You never tell me you love me. He says, honey, on the day we got married, I told you I love you. If that ever changes, I'll let you know. You know, so I guess in his mind, I've said it once, that should take care of it. How about putting a little bit of power? God likes to hear it. So, God, I prayed once. Yeah. How about some wrong ways to pray? I didn't know I could pray a wrong way. I'll give you a few of them. Isaiah 45:20 says, gather yourselves and come, draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. So basically, they're praying. They're just praying to a false God. That's no different than me grabbing hold of a rabbit's foot and saying, I'm going to win a swim meet because I got me a rabbit's foot. Yeah, it's sort of like the Dumbo circus kind of thing. Remember that, Dumbo? You know, put the feather. You can fly. You don't need a feather. And hanging on to an idol won't accomplish anything. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? There was a showdown. The real God, the God I serve, and the God that Elijah had to face was a false God. Those guys got up, got the wood out, and they started cutting themselves, and danced around and said, God, they were praying somebody didn't exist. I wonder why they didn't get an answer. By the way, some people, if they're praying and they don't really know our God, the true God, it's almost like they're just, it's sort of like the Disney song. When you what? Wish upon a star. You're wishing. Well, I'm going to do the best I can. All you're doing is wishing. Let's pray. Pray for a God that can change people. Pray for a God that can help us. But the rest of it, Isaiah 44:17, but the rest of it he makes into a God, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships it. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for you're my God. When they came across the Red Sea, Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days. So like Lent, 40 days, and he prayed to God. And what did people do while he was gone? They made him an idol. People don't have much faith. They got to have some. Sure, I can have faith as long as I can what?
See it.
And Hebrews 11 would remind us, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If I could see it, it wouldn't be faith. You know, I have faith that you got a pen in your hand. Well, boy, that took a lot of faith. Right here it is. How much faith do you think a Helen Keller would have to have? Or an Annie Sullivan? Helen Keller was born blind. Matter of fact, she would embarrass you if she's here today, but we ought to just go over and give someone like that a hug. But she wouldn't talk, she would what? Grunt. And Annie Sullivan basically quit her job and just started working with her, living with her. One day she made a great breakthrough. She would try to write the words on her hand like water, and then she'd stick her hand under water, and pretty soon she would teach Helen Keller words. And where your vocabulary is huge, I think she taught her about 900 words that way. A woman that, so she was teaching. How much faith would that take? You can't see, you can't really speak, you can't hear. Talk about faith. Deliver me, for you're my God. How about this one? And if someone ever comes to know Jesus, we do this. We pray and say, God, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask the wrong motives. God, let me win the lottery, so I'll be rich. Wow, why? I can buy a bigger house. Notice, I can buy a better car. I can, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Matthew 6:7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. The longer you talk doesn't make your prayer any better. As the heathen do. Heathens would stand up and just babble on for hours. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know what the shortest prayer I've probably ever prayed, and you have too. Four-letter word starts with an H, ends with a P. Help. Help me. And God hears that faint prayer. What if I don't do it God's way? Well, in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, just these three verses, they're basically going to die. The ship's about to break up, tear up, and everything else. If you need a Bible, look at Jonah, just these three verses. Jonah is one of the minor prophets, and you say, I never can find Jonah. Well, go through all the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah, Esther. Just keep on going that way. Get over to Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Find some minor, find some major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, you got Lamentations. And then you finally get over there, almost getting close to the Gospels, you're going to find some minor prophets. You're going to find a short little book called called Jonah, excuse me. You're going to find Joel and Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah after Obadiah. If you got a Bible like mine, it's 1,167 page number. If you got a blue Bible, I'm not sure. 654 in the pew Bible. If you got a blue Bible, it's 654. The one Jim just now gave you. Thank you, Jim, for getting the Bible. Page 654. In Jonah chapter 1, God said go. Jonah said no. He takes off. Jonah's a Christian. God wants him to go preach. Jonah just says, I don't want to go. Now, pretend with me that you've ever said no to God. Shouldn't be too hard for some of us. Jonah just takes off, backslid. And God sends some waves and a storm to him. And if you look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. All the sailors were afraid. These guys make a living being on the high seas, and they're scared to death. That's sort of like, I drive fast enough to scare Jeff Gordon. You know, then you must be fast. The man makes a living going fast, and you're scaring him. These sailors were afraid. And they each cried out to who? To who? Their God, his own God. That wasn't a true God. See, it's funny that all people are religious. My daddy used to say that too. You know, when everybody's in a foxhole over in Germany, they suddenly have a foxhole conversion. God, you get me home. And God, and they get home, and they don't give God any attention. They just want God, help me. They cried out to their own God, and they threw the cargo. They just now lost money that they're going to deliver that cargo, getting paid for delivering the cargo. They threw the cargo into the sea to light the ship. Jonah gone down below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Things really bothering him. He's sleeping away, verse 9. They finally woke him up and asked, what's going on? Where are you from? Who are you? And he answered, look at the contrast. He told the truth. I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven. Not a false God, not who y'all been talking about, who made the sea and the land. They just thought, look at the next verse. This terrified them. Asked, what have you done? So you're running from the God who made the sea. They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told him so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calmer? And he says, well, I'm going to be honest again. Just pick me up and throw me in the sea. I'm the reason for this calamity. The sea will become calm. So I know that it's my fault that the great storms come upon you. Well, you know how human effort is. God will tell you one thing. What do? You try something else. So guess what? Instead, that means but, or on the other hand, or contrast, the men didn't say toss him up. The men did their best to keep on rowing. They wanted to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. And then they cried out to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. O Lord, have done as you please. For killing an innocent man for you, O Lord, have done as you please. You sent this storm. And then they took John, threw him overboard, like John told him. And at this, verse 16, at this the men greatly feared what? The Lord. Oh, you mean these men, sounds like they just now got saved. They feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. They went from crying out to a God of their own makeup, and then they finally said, I'm not afraid of a God that exists. Enough of this phony stuff of rubbing a rabbit's foot or bound down to a stick or a tree. We've got people that worship things that everybody's got an innate sense that we want to worship. Some people worship a car, you know. And Andy Griffith, Otis, comes out of a cabin one time where there's some convicts coming up there, and he's got two things. He's got the rifle and he's got his jug. And the guy sees him and he says, all right, drop it. And Otis says, no. He says, drop it. No. You drop the gun right now, or you're in trouble. Oh, the gun, sure. I just didn't want to drop my jug. we soon find out what's important to people. So Otis might, I've got to have this. You probably got a lot of questions in. That's you right there, just shaking and trembling. And you might say, well, how do I pray? Well, is there a certain position? I'm gonna tell you the lies that Satan throws at you. Satan makes us think we've got to do things. There's only one set thing. No, it's not. How do I pray? You can pray any way you want to. Now, we do want to pray. You know, we pray through Jesus, to God the Father. If you say, oh God, God will hear that prayer. If you say in Jesus' name, Max Lucado said, here's a quick way. Dear Jesus, I need help. Others need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's those. How do I pray? You can pray really any way you want to. Say, dear God, you hear me. How about this? Maybe we can ask, when do we pray? What's 1 Thessalonians 5:17 say? Pray without ceasing, pray anytime you want to. We've got to get out of the mode. Okay, we associate prayer, and I did this. There's nothing wrong with it, but you grow up, you know what you do. You often pray just before you walk. Go to bed. Or you pray just as you get up, or you pray during the day. You better be praying before you eat. So after a while, somebody comes up and says, you want to pray? Why, are we going to eat something? Oh. You know, bless your heart. Well, I've already prayed. There's a story in the Bible where a young person is ill over in the Elijah is going to be called upon as a man of God. But the little boy died, that little boy's sick, he's going to end up dying. And the mom says, run and get the man of God. You know what her husband said? Oh, is it special time? Let me compare that to us. We got to talk to God. Oh, is it Sunday? No, it's Tuesday afternoon. What are we doing talking to God? You got to quit praying or thinking, I just got to, when do we pray? Sundays. Where do we pray? At church. You don't have to be by your bedside. You can pray in your car. So how do I pray? You just pray from your heart. When do I pray? Anytime. Where do I pray? Anywhere. What do I pray about? Anything. How long should I pray? Oh, no, that's strategic, because if you only pray 1 minute, then you're in trouble. No, that's not true at all. What is prayer? All prayer is prayer is simply talking to God. So if I talk to my friend, if I talk to Gene, how long do I have to talk with him? Melanie, how long should I talk to Gene? 2 minutes? He stopped at my house before, and we started talking at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and at 11:30 or 12, he finally went back home to job. That day we were talking. We talked 3 hours. Sometimes I'll speak to him and I'll know, what's the difference? We're still friends. We love each other. We're more than friends. We're family. And see, we got a common bond because, you know, we're tight. Gene knew my mama and daddy. Like, you know, he would bring me food to eat up at Giles, and my mom would be talking to him. Gene, can you run by Wade's? Get him some meatloaf. I haven't had meatloaf in a while. Had meatloaf and coleslaw or mashed. And so I'd talk to him 10 minutes, sometimes talk to him 2 hours. That's same with God. So if I get up and say, God, I'm running late for work, but I don't walk out of this house. I love you. Thanks for loving me. Is it okay? Absolutely. I prayed the other day. I get out and I got my 2 chairs. I always just like, I turn my palms up for some reason. I'm releasing my burdens and I'm receiving what? Blessings. And I say, God, you say, yeah, but I have to do that. You do whatever you're comfortable with. Jesus, that's about as far as I got. I was praying for Joe. Yeah, it was about 7:15, right after you called that morning. Took a while, silence, and Jesus, that's about as far. I looked up before I got to this 8:30. Took me 1 hour and 15 minutes to get words out. But you just keep praying. You just keep praying. So do you pray until you sort of sense a closeness, or do you pray until you just feel like God and you? Yeah. If you're hungry, you go in there and look in the refrigerator. Nothing in there. Well, so much for that. Now you keep looking, won't you? What's in the cupboard? Hey, neighbor, peanut butter sandwich. You know when you quit looking? When you get something. Pray until something happens. They said that push before. Prayer is simply talking to God. So what God says about prayer is how we come to know God in the first place. This is the first thing he wants to do in prayer. First prayer God ever hears is a sinner's prayer.
Why do we have to pray that first?
Well, otherwise you're talking to somebody that you don't know. Does that make sense? Call up the top president and, hello?
Who is this?
President of NASCAR. I need some tickets for the race in October Martinsville.
Who is it?
I don't know. Just thought I'd ask for tickets. Click. Guard my calls a little bit better next time.
They think I'm crazy. How can you pray to somebody you don't know?
So those people are, God, can you hear some people praying and you know that they don't even know the one they're talking to? They try to know the book, but they've never met the author. Does that make sense? I heard a prayer one time, but I'm not a Nares fan, a Giles fan. But anyway, I felt something. Nares was going to play Raptor one time, and I thought I was a long time ago, and I started watching because it was getting close. The guy before the game said, God, that just to me is wrong. But anyway, I'll let you pray the way you want to. Help us avenge our loss from last year. Nares had beat him the last year. Let's pray. Pay him back, God. Give it to him. Amen. Wow. Prayer of vengeance. Nothing like being... Wow, that's awful. First prayer God hears is this. Dear Jesus, I don't even know how to pray. But I know I need you. Would you forgive me? Save me? Amen. Do you hear that? That's what... So it's not your words really you hear, it's your heart. In my heart, I've said stuff before and I think, I don't even know if that came out right. But somebody says, but I know your heart's in the right place. So the first prayer he ever hears is a sinner's prayer. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. Acts 17, 27 says, God did this. Did what? Turn to Acts chapter 17. I'll show you something. Acts chapter 17. Paul goes down and, well, you know what? Paul wants to speak to some people. And he goes down to find some local places he can preach. And he shows up at the synagogue. There's a bunch of false gods. That means there's a bunch of false prayers going up. And so Paul's going to show up and teach some people some things. Verse 16, in Athens. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he's waiting for his friends to show up. And while he's waiting, Paul's the kind of guy, he's waiting in the lobby of a hotel for me. And I say, Paul, I'll be there in an hour. Paul's sitting there waiting on me. He says, I'm going to find something to do while I'm waiting on Edgar. Go over to the reception. How you doing? You doing great? Oh, man, you look pretty today. Thank you. God just told you. I'm glad you got your job. You knew God's blessed me a lot. Do you have a church home? So when we show up, we're like, Paul, what are you doing? Paul can't sit still. He's witnessing the people in the room. I always found this amazing. I'm going to get off, but no, I just got to show you. Jesus went to visit the woman at the well, and he shows up, and where are the disciples, by the way? They're in town, right? This was brought to mind yesterday. They're in town getting food. When the disciples showed back up, how many people did they tell in town about Jesus? Now you say, well, you don't really know that. Just speculate. How many people did they bring back with them from town?
None.
These are God's choice servants. But yet God's talking to this woman who's a Samaritan, and she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan? That'd be a nice way. I'm trailer trash. Why are you even talking to me? Not trash to me. I love you. Why? Well, when the Messiah comes, I believe him. I am the Messiah. She's certainly very humbled before that. And he says, you can have living water. Okay. How can you drink water from this well? Because you don't have anything to get it with. What you just now tell me, the only way you're going to get well water from this well is that you use what I'm drinking from. What did Jesus just now imply? Then I'll drink from your cup. You can't do that. Yeah, I'm a Samaritan. I'm unclean. The world thinks I'm trash. Give me a cup. You drank from my cup. What are you doing? I love you. Wouldn't that mean a lot to you? Instead of the grade school member kids, you know. Remember that? Hey, get away from her. That's what the whole town is treating her like. Jesus comes over and puts his arm around her. Wow. You love him? Absolutely. And he tells her about living water, and she says, let me drink, and the next thing you know, I think she right there in her simple face said, Jesus, I need you. She runs back into town. Now, these disciples are professional Christians of the day. Walk back and go, Jesus, what are you doing talking to her? First of all, she's a Samaritan, and she's a woman. Ooh, and she's... By the way, in a few minutes, you know who comes back to town? This woman's just sending half the town out. that woman who was low life, according to the world, who was nothing, scum, she just now put those disciples to shame and witnessing. Disciples brought back no one. This one brings to town. They come out and go, what's going on? The woman told us about Jesus. Wow. And then the next thing you know, half the town show up and they said they believed not because of her word, but now because they saw Jesus. She brings half the town to Jesus. Wouldn't that convict the disciples? And Jesus didn't say this, but I can just imagine. I hope y'all learned some lessons today that this woman who y'all were looking down at did tons more for the kingdom than you did today. Have a nice day. The disciples probably thought, wow, she learned to love it. There's unknown gods in this story. While Paul was waiting for them, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Broke his heart. So he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. And a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Well, you know, it's always some people want to argue. Just pretend with me. I know y'all never heard that on Facebook or media. No one ever argues with you. I could put on there, it's a beautiful day, and I'd have 10 people say, nine. You know, it's like, great, just argue with anybody. These guys will argue. Some of them ask, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to the meeting of Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. Hey, tell us. Well, that's where 1 Peter 3:15 comes in, always being ready to give an answer to those who ask you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with meekness and gentleness. They just now said, hey, prove it. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Does that sound like today? Get up in the morning, leave Facebook off, and pick up the book with a face. This is God. You know, just leave off. Let me pick up the phone. How about pick up the book? All they do is just sit around talking and listen to the latest ideas or gossip. They're busybodies to me. Talkers but not doers. Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that Abraham, well, you're very religious. By the way, that's a soft approach to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't say, you're a sinner going to hell. Wow, we just lost that one. We're catching fish, not yanking them. He says, picture a museum right here. You walk in that door and there's pictures and paintings all the way around the room. And we're going around, Paul's going around, God to the moon, God to the sun, God of travel. And he goes, false God. Okay. He comes up here, unknown God. Paul's got an idea. He said, guys, I see that y'all got a lot of gods, but right here it says unknown God under this. You know who that unknown God is to you? That's my God. Wow, what are you talking about? Well, you've left a place for the real God, and here's what the real God is. He's unknown to you, but, and this is what he says to him. Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious, for I walked around and observed your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. You know what? Great approach to him. He's got him hooked. The God who made the world and everything in it as the Lord of heaven and earth does not live in temples made by hands, and he's not served by human hands. As if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them in the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. What did he just now say? Guys, if y'all have a one-word prayer, two-word prayer, save me. He will hear you and say, this is that unknown God that y'all don't know. God did this so that they would seek him. He's pricked our curiosity to come seek him. Wise men still seek him. Remember what they say at Christmas? I like this. So that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. I like this. Though he is not far from any one of us. God's pretty close to you today. He might be just sort of, I didn't realize God's sitting with me. Absolutely. He's pretty close right now. He's just waiting on that prayer from you. I like this 2 Samuel. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God from his temple. He heard my voice, prayer, and my cry came to his ears. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeks the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show you great and mighty things. So what's my prayer? Well, God says it's how we come to know God in the first place, in a simple way. It's how you meet someone for the first time near Jesus. I love you. Thanks for loving me. I want to live with you in heaven. That's enough. Would you forgive me of my sins? That's enough. How about one of the shortest prayers you've probably ever heard? Thief on the cross said, did he get down off the cross? Did he kneel? Did he? What was his prayer? Well, here it is. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Shorten that down. What two words did you just now say? Remember me. Well, is that enough? Well, you tell me. Here's what Jesus said back. You got it. That's Jolly Bingo. You got it. But that is truly, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus. Yes? Remember me. You got it. That was it. Does that help you in prayer? I thought I had to say a certain thing. No, you don't. If you back it up and if you go through what that man said, he said, the one thief fussed at Jesus. He said, hey, quit cracking at this man. He is who he is, and we're getting what we deserve. Admit your mistakes. We deserve to die. We're thieves, but this man deserves nothing. Nothing like we're getting. He's an innocent man. Jesus, would you remember me? You got it. So what kind of prayer did you pray when you asked Jesus into your heart? He said, well, you're stepping on my toes, but I'm doing this because I love you. I don't want you to think that you are and you're not. You say, I walked an aisle. I can walk an aisle and not be saved. I raised my hand. I can raise my hand and not be saved. I asked Jesus to forgive me and save my soul. That's a good answer. Because there's a lot of people that are basing it on a feeling or emotion. You know, sometimes I feel so close to Jesus, he's right there. Some days, if not, I still, when I can't see his hand, I trust his heart. I don't know how you ask. I can't even remember it. I just know I got Jesus in my heart. So what God says about prayers, our first prayers when we come to him, and from then on it sort of opens up a communication line. But you got to come to know him as Savior. It's how we come to know Jesus better, too. Once we get saved, it's how we communicate with God after we become his child. If you need an example, consider the one Jesus gave his disciples. I love this verse. One day Jesus was doing what? Now, see if this is not the way you would. If you come up behind somebody in a batter's box, or if you come up behind somebody and I'm in a baseball, I'm a little kid, and go, wow, what are you doing? The guy just cocks that leg and throws that curveball. You come up and go, can you what? Can you teach me how to throw a curveball like that? Sure. You see the laces right? And you start. Look what the disciples did. One day, Jesus, God the Father, I thank you, God. And he's just praying to disciples come up with. Jesus, can you what?
Teach.
Can you teach us how to pray? You're a preacher. No, he didn't do that. He's so kind. Sure, pull up the chair. Let's talk about prayer today, guys. These are the disciples. These are the disciples, and they ask, can you teach us to pray? Does that surprise anybody or encourage you? It encourages me because on the days that I say, God, I don't know if I'm very good. You know what God would probably say back to me? It's okay. Let's all start at the beginning. That encourages me. I hope it encourages you. So he's sitting there doing some things. And Jesus praying. The disciples come and say, can we pray like you? Jesus says, yeah. So let's say what he taught them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now I know when you taught them, they basically said, lead us not into temptation. I think Matthew stops it right there. It's a good way to finish it. So basically you're saying, our Father, that means I'm in a relation with him. Our Father. Maybe you just, I can't get words out after that sometimes. Because I just now realize that God's present. Because every time you say God, you're right there. It's like the Star Trek. I'm in front of him. He's with me. Our Father. What's the next line say? I know where he is.
Hallowed, you, hallowed, that's holy. Man, you're holy. We just stepped into the holy boat. Our Father who art in heaven, I know where you are. Hallowed be thy name. May your kingdom come to earth and sit up here the same way it is in heaven. Guess what? Everything in heaven right now, God's running it the way he likes to. It's not the same on earth that we'd say, God, I wish it wouldn't be. I pray that it will be. That kingdom, you know, just like in earth, in heaven, I pray that it would come to earth and be the same set up. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth the same way as it is in heaven. And then we talk daily now. You give us this day our what?
Daily.
Give us enough to get by, like the guys had the manna. The manna stops. Okay, every day you get manna. I love it. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When I mess up so much, I get up the next morning, morning by morning, you mercies I see. Yesterday's behind me, today's in front. The devil says, what about yesterday? What about your tomorrow? You know, I've heard that. So next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. One day he would be burning in hell. I've just got to stay focused on today. Give us today our daily bread. And then what's he say? Forgive us what? Lord, I messed up a lot. Would you forgive me? Matter of fact, forgive me the way I forgive. I want to forgive. Somebody got me aggravated. I forgive me. I can't hold a grudge. What if God have a grudge against you? Ouch. Forgive us of the trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against. And lead us not, God, keep me from temptation, because I'm a weak vessel. Because, see, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Keep me away from those things. I don't need to be anywhere near. And do what? Forgive us for the trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against. Lead us not to temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. Give us away from bad things. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You'll never change. Hebrews 13, 8. He's saying yesterday, today, and forever. Pretty good prayer. You taught him to pray. I love this verse. If my people who are called by my name, that's us, will humble ourselves and pray and seek and turn from their wicked ways. Watch what I'll do. I'll hear and I'll forgive and I'll heal. Well, I'm just going to do it on my own. Well, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. I'm not going to do it without God. Yeah, let's see. Let's drive that car without gas. Let's start that chainsaw. And, what was that? Well, that was the power. There's only one thing to do. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, there's no magical formula for praying. I said, dear Jesus, and I pictured you. Whether that's in a robe or with little children on your lap or teaching the disciples on the hillside. I picture you, Jesus, right now. And some people in the world accuse us, oh, you're just, that's feeling. No, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see you, Jesus, but you are here. Why? Because you said you're here, and I trust you. Because you're omnipotent, you're all-powerful, and you're close by, that Bible verse says. You can call me. I'm not very far away. No, you're not. Jesus, you're right with me. For where two or three gather together, I'm in the midst of them. Now, we can't see you, but that's what faith is called. We can see you, but not with our eyes. So, dear Jesus, you're here with us today. I thank you for your presence. Lord, teach us to pray. I thank that you're a holy God. That scares some people. It refreshes me because, God, you are so holy, and yet you'll forgive me of my sins. You're not unapproachable. Hebrews 4 tells us to come boldly to the throne. You're like my mom and my daddy. And when I showed up and visited them, they loved it. My mom would say, good to see you. Jesus, you do that right now. When I said, dear Jesus, he'll say, oh, Andrew, it's good to hear from you. Pull up a chair and stay with me. So Jesus, teach us to pray. Help us to pray just like we're talking to a friend, because that's what all the prayer is. The first prayer, though, is we have to come to you and say, Jesus, I've never met you before. I don't know you. You're not a friend, and I want to make you that friend of mine. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Would you forgive me? I know you love me already. Would you come into my heart, my life, and save me? And just however you say it, that's what I want you to do right now. You want to come to Jesus and make it that simple. Jesus, I've never met you before, but I want to. I'm here to meet you. And Jesus will say, welcome. So Jesus, speak to hearts that don't know you. If we've wandered away, Lord, bring us back. Help us to begin that first prayer, the sinner's prayer, the repentant prayer. And we begin our fellowship, our friendship, our relationship with you by that simple prayer. And then from then on, if we don't pray too often, Lord calls us to, how often do we pick up a phone to call a friend? How often do we want to write a letter or text or do something to let somebody know what's going on? Help us to do that with you. Help us to pray in our cars and our homes. Jesus, right now, help us to make you a part of our day a lot. So Lord, we bow before you, humbly with our hearts open, receptive, and then responsive to what is called us to do. In Jesus' name.